The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt, inside the Beltway in the ReliefFactor.com studio. I think we can all agree that the biggest story of the weekend, the one that did the most for national morale, the one that has encouraged everyone in a season of worry and division, was the Cleveland Browns' magnificent beating of the Cowboys yesterday, 49-38. I think we can all agree on that. And Odell Beckham Jr. stay in Cleveland. Now, to the other story. The president. I think he's going to be released from Walter Reed today. I think it's been the strangest 72 hours in my media career since, well, 9/11. I do not really quite know what to say. I'm going to ask your reaction to it. 1-800-520-1234. I would encourage you to cover it this way or ask me this way, respond to me. Who did the best job covering this? I don't want any media bashing. I want to know, who do you think did a fine job of covering the president's diagnosis, trip to Walter Reed, and expected release today, his two videos, and his trip in the car? Who did the best job? Who did the best job of covering the doctors and covering the press conferences? And I expect, if you're not a Twitter user and you don't watch cable, you have a completely different view of this than did everybody else. Now, while you're laying up calls, I'm going to go and play for you Tom Cotton. Senator Cotton was on Maria Bartiromo yesterday. And I want you to hear what he had to say about Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett to be. She's not yet a Supreme Court Justice. She's going to be one. Cut number 17.
Yeah, Maria, thanks for the question. I'm doing fine. I extend my deepest wishes to the president and the first lady and every American who's been affected by this virus to get well very quickly. I've been in contact with my colleagues who are either tested positive or who have been exposed to someone who tested positive. And to my knowledge, as of last night, everyone remains either asymptomatic or has mild symptoms that hasn't required hospitalization. What I can say is that everyone is eager to be at work when they need to be at work. They're on the Judiciary Committee a week from tomorrow, either in person or virtually, to have the confirmation hearings for Judge Barrett and then to have the vote on Judge Barrett this month. The president has nominated an outstanding jurist to be on the Supreme Court. I visited with her this week. It only confirmed my high opinion of her. I suspect that's going to be the case of the American people when they see Judge Barrett or confirmation hearing starting a week from tomorrow. And none of this should have any impact on the schedule of the Senate, either the Judiciary Committee or the Senate as a whole.
Very interesting take. Very calm, very collected. That's Tom Cotton for you. He continued. Cut number 18.
No doubt about it, Maria. Several of the senators who are in isolation right now would come out of isolation before those hearings begin. But the Senate Judiciary Committee has also conducted 20 hearings this year that have either been in part or in whole virtual. Many Senate Democrats who are now saying we couldn't possibly do a virtual hearing were demanding throughout this year, going back to March, that all committees be conducted over Zoom or WebEx or some other kind of virtual hearing. So the hearing is going to go forward, no doubt in my mind, starting a week from tomorrow, Maria. And then on the Senate floor later this month, first off, I think every senator who's currently tested positive or is in isolation will be back to work under normal conditions, as other senators have been as well, like Rand Paul or Tim Kaine. If that's not the case, Maria, there is a long and venerable tradition of ill or medically infirm senators being wheeled in to cast critical votes on the Senate floor. Most recently, Robert Byrd in 2009 repeatedly rolled in a wheelchair just months before his death to vote for Obamacare. So I'm confident that every senator will be in attendance when his or her vote is needed.
That is what, the vote's going to happen. The hearings are going to happen. They're going to happen remotely for anyone who wants to do it remotely. Don't be alarmed. Amy Coney Barrett is going on the Supreme Court. Now, understand the Democrats want to pack the Supreme Court. They're very radical, and they want to pack the Supreme Court. They want to end the Senate filibuster. They want to make the District of Columbia state, which is, in my view, unconstitutional. I'm not opposed to making Puerto Rico a state if they want to become a state. I've always been that way, but not the District of Columbia. That is unconstitutional. Meanwhile, we had Dr. Brian Garibaldi at Walter Reed yesterday say this, cut number two.
Today he feels well. He's been up and around. Our plan for today is to have him to eat and drink, be up out of bed as much as possible, to be mobile. And if he continues to look and feel as well as he does today, our hope is that we can plan for a discharge as early as tomorrow to the White House where he can continue his treatment course.
Excellent news. Great news. President's going to be fine. And I've been saying that since Friday when I saw him walk out of the White House because of my experience with people with the virus. One of them has died. Many of whom have recovered. It's just my experience extrapolated. And I believe when we get the results, now very high-profile people across the country have had the virus, beginning with the president. You're getting higher profile than that. All the way, Tom Hanks and everybody else. I think we're going to see a renewal of the debate about Sweden and whether or not Sweden did the right thing, which was to let people voluntarily social distance with an emphasis on keeping old, medically fragile people away. But here's the president himself. And just in the event you didn't pay any attention, you just watched the Browns game over and over again, which would be acceptable, in my view. Cut number one.
We're getting great reports from the doctors. This is an incredible hospital, Walter Reed. The work they do is just absolutely amazing, and I want to thank them all, the nurses, the doctors, everybody here. I've also gotten to meet some of the soldiers and the first responders, and what a group. I also think we're going to pay a little surprise to some of the great patriots that we have out on the street, and they've been out there for a long time, and they've got Trump flags, and they love our country, so I'm not telling anybody but you, but I'm about to make a little surprise visit. So perhaps I'll get there before you get to see me. But I just, when I look at the enthusiasm, and we have enthusiasm like probably nobody's ever had. Our people that love the job we're doing, we have more enthusiasm than maybe anybody. So it's been a very interesting journey. I learned a lot about COVID. I learned it by really going to school. This is the real school. This isn't the let's read the book school. And I get it and I understand it. And it's a very interesting thing. And I'm going to be letting you know about it. In the meantime, we love the USA and we love what's happening. Thank you.
So he went out and waved to his supporters. Now, what did you make? My question is, who did the best job covering these 72 hours? That's my positive way of putting it. John in Delaware, who did the best job of covering the last 72 hours?
Morning, Glory Hugh.
Thank you, John.
Donald John Trump did the best job covering his illness on the Twitter feed and everybody else that covered it.
I don't want any negative. I just want positive. So you think
okay.
the president
well, Donald
did the
John
best.
Trump did the best job.
Thank you, sir. Randy in Texas, who did the best job covering it?
I think Newsmax did.
I don't follow Newsmax that closely. How did they cover it?
They had lots of stories on it. Almost every one of their anchors had something to say about it, and they had a lot of different people commenting on it. And what I love about it is they don't have a bunch of lib girls.
Okay, Randy, stop. Drop that, guys. We don't use that term ever,
ever, ever. Edith in Southern California. Hi, Edith. Who did the best job covering it?
Well, I just wanted to say that I appreciate your trying to, you know, instill confidence in where we are on the right. But I would like to hear that it's by the grace of God.
Of course. Look, a lot of people have died. And so, obviously, people who get better are grateful for getting better. But, you know, God is in control of everything. I hope you listen later, Edith, when Rod Dreher's on. Got a great new book out, Live Not by Lies, about souls in need and admonition to the West. And I think it's very timely. It's also very dire about religious liberty in the West. But I'm not sure it'll be that bad. Thank you, Edith. It'll especially not be that bad if you support Alliance Defending Freedom. In fact, a senior at Florida State University was forced to be silent. A Catholic student in a Catholic public chat room. Listen to this.
They voted to remove Jack as the Senate president simply for sharing Catholic views in a Catholic group chat with other Catholic students. And Jack was removed by a vote of 33-3. And that vote lasted for more than 5 hours.
All right. So here's what I want you to know. You can help religious liberty in the United States by donating to Alliance Defending Freedom during the break. I just tweeted it out. There's a banner at the top of HughHewitt.com. It says, will you fight for your freedom? Please go or call 866-359-9644. Religious liberty matters. Amy Coney Barrett will defend it, but you need to help Alliance Defending Freedom at HughHewitt.com. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. I never think I've been as happy to say this. The President of the United States is tweeting. The Energizer president is up at Walter Reed and watching Fox and Friends. He quotes a voter, quote, I'm voting for Donald Trump. My father is a union worker and his 401k is triple under President Trump. USA voter Fox and Friends. Thank you. And remember that the stock market is getting ready to break its all-time high, all in caps now. Next year will be the best ever. Vote, vote, vote. So what do I take away from that? I think the president is fine. Now, I have ever since I saw the first video, I thought he was fine. Given my experience with people who get the virus, I've had a half dozen friends get it and recover rather quickly. I've had one friend get it and die. And I'm not a doctor, nor did I stay at a Holiday Inn. I also didn't watch much media. I did watch the briefings and the president. But I really do think that if every one of these high profile people, we got 3 senators, lots of White House staff, everybody else, they're all sick. I'm praying for them all. You should be too. If they all get better, are we going to look at each other and say, yes, we know 200,000 Americans have died and many more hundred thousands will probably die from it? Is lockdown the right way to go, or do we adopt the Sweden model? What do markets think? You know, they took a plunge on Friday. This is brought to you by Birch Gold. And if you want to add gold to your portfolio, you go to hughgold.com. And if you want to just simply move some of your retirement income, retirement investments over to physical precious metals and gold, not an ETF, not a proxy fund, but actually the real deal, gold and silver. Text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. Maybe you've been thinking about doing it and you just think it's getting too crazy. I want some gold. And you go to hughgold.com or you text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. Birch Gold, great reviews, great ratings. It's who I buy my gold from. and did just so in January when I made my purchase most recently. Gold this morning is at $1,904. So the world is not panicked about the president. And overseas, you know, it's far advanced in the day. In Japan, it's closed. And the market went up 1.23%. They've decided Donald Trump is fine. Hong Kong, the market is up 1.32%. They've decided America is stable and fine. England is up 0.69%. Germany is up 0.53%. I don't know what the market's going to do today, but the sell-off was panicky on Friday because coverage was coverage. And, you know, taking a ride around the hospital clearly to encourage the country and send a signal and communicate with our enemies that I'm fine. People were wondering, why did he do that? That's clearly a national security deal, friends. That's clearly a message to the world and the markets, but mostly to the world. I'm fine. That's why George W. Bush came back to the United States, to the D.C. Capitol, excuse me. Remember, they wanted to keep him out at Nebraska or someplace on 9/11. He said, no, I'm going back to D.C. Country has to see me. And that's what presidents try and do. They try and be seen after a health crisis. And the president did it via the limo. And I just think, well, I'm asking you, who did the best job covering this? Paul in Beverly Hills. You're up early, Paul.
Hi, good morning, Hugh. I thought OANN and Newsmax both were terrific, great anchors, no spin, no nonsense. It was great.
All right. Thank you. I don't watch OANN, but Newsmax I do occasionally. Remember, this is a turnout election. Remember, Keep America, America.com is where you go to figure out. 28 days left. And, oh, by the way, the NBC poll, Wall Street Journal poll that has the president down 14 among registered voters. Do you realize that exactly a year ago on October 10th, the same poll had Hillary Clinton ahead by the same amount using the same metrics and the same registered voter model? Doesn't mean that polls are wrong or that they're intentionally busted. It means that things change. The registered voter surveys are never as useful as likely voter surveys. And what matters are states, because that's how we do it, through the Electoral College. But we need to vote. And we need to reach a million people via KeepAmericaAmerica.com. Please go there now. Do a little or do a lot. They will give you all the tools. Get one other person or five other person or 10 other people to vote. But do your part. Go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com now and come right back to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Can you imagine that slice of time? Rock and roll was young people stood in line to hear music that played into their lives, that you could carry till the day you die. Of American pie. Have you read?
Welcome back, America. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. It is really good to see a recovering President Trump back on Twitter. The President of the United States has tweeted again. This is all in caps. If you want a massive tax increase, the biggest in the history of our country, and one that will shut down our economy and jobs down, vote Democrat! Exclamation point three times. Yes, I think the president will be coming home today to the White House. That's what I think. Let me go to Robert C. O'Brien, who's going to join us at the top of the hour. Was on Face the Nation yesterday. And I want to set up my interview with the National Security Advisor. Ambassador O'Brien will join me at the top of the hour. Here he is on Face the Nation with Margaret Brennan yesterday, cut number eight.
That's not something that's on the table at this point. Again, the president, you saw him on the video
last
night.
But it may be, as you just said.
Well, he's doing very well, and just like it could happen to anybody, but we're prepared. Look, we have a great vice president. We have a government that is steady and is steady at the tiller. And we'll be briefing the president this afternoon. General Milley, Secretary Pompeo, myself will be giving him a national security brief this afternoon from the White House here. He'll be at Walter Reed, so we'll do it by secure video conference or secure phone. So, the government's doing well. The president's doing well. And I'm not going to address hypotheticals, but we have plans for everything.
A very calm, collected Robert C. O'Brien yesterday morning, dismissing the idea that the 25th Amendment was in play. It isn't. Cut number nine.
Well, on the status, I spoke with the chief of staff this morning, and the good news is the president feels very well, and he actually wants to get back home to the White House and get back to work, but I think he's going to stay at Walter Reed for at least another period of time. Look, I went through this virus myself, as you know, Margaret, over the summer, and even if you have no symptoms, and I had very, very minor symptoms, day 7 and 8, are the critical days. So I think the doctors want to make sure that they're there for the president and that he's getting the best treatment, but he's doing well. I spoke with them, to answer your question, on Friday. I was in Geneva holding some talks with the Russian team, my counterpart, General Patrushev, and I was able to call the president after he was tested positive to give him an update on the talks, get his feedback for the afternoon sessions, and he was in good spirits and was, firmly in control.
Now, I wish people actually knew something about history. Now, I have an advantage. I was in the White House counsel's office as an assistant counsel when President Reagan considered invoking the 25th Amendment in 1985 when he had colon cancer surgery. He did not invoke the 25th Amendment, contrary to a lot of coverage. It's a complicated three-letter deal that you have to understand, and I reviewed it before I said anything about it with former counsel to the president, Fred Fielding, former deputy counsel to the president, Dick Houser, who were my bosses in the White House in 1985. And I remember various details, but I didn't remember all the details. And I was there, so I don't blame the media for not understanding it. A lot of these people weren't even born when President Reagan had his colon cancer surgery, which is actually the closest parallel to what we've just seen, but actually more significant because the president had to go under general anesthetic. There have also been invocations of the 25th Amendment when colonoscopies were done and other presidents went under general anesthetic that were definite. I will tell you this. Robert O'Brien got asked repeatedly by Margaret Brennan, she wanted an Al Haig moment. There just was no Al Haig moment this weekend. Cut number 14.
I think the president made this very clear. He's going to continue to run this government, and we have to face this virus. We have to open up the country. We've got to make sure that America is moving forward. And we're not getting left behind by China or other adversaries, and in this case, China, which was responsible for the virus. It's very hard, no matter what precautions you take. And as you know, Margaret, I was one of the early proponents with the NSC of wearing masks. I regularly masked up. I social distanced, and yet I still I came into contact with it. This is a very resilient,
infectious.
Nasty.
But that would only seem to indicate that around the president of the United States, you need to be even more careful. So how was he put in these circumstances?
Well, normally, Margaret, and as you know, we had a very, very rigorous testing protocol and still do, so that anyone who was going to come within 6 or 8 feet of the president, was tested. And we did our best. But the president made it clear, as he did last night, that he was going to continue to govern. He was going to continue to run the country in the face of this virus. And whether it's the NFL, which has strict protocols, or college football or college campuses and that have put up bubbles, this is a resilient, nasty virus. We're going to have to stop it. And we're going to do it with therapeutics. We're going to do it with a vaccine that's going to come out. And we're going to come out on the other side of this stronger.
Okay.
And then Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, landed at Andrews after a very long European trip that was very successful and said this on the tarmac at Andrews, cut number 26.
I did get a chance to talk with the president some length today. I think he spoke with this entire national security team today. Look, this is a team I've been working for this president for almost 4 years now. This is a team that is mature and capable. We're fully prepared for all of the possibilities that may take place. We had a good conversation. I'm not going to say what it was about, but we made sure that the president was fully up to speed on all those things happening around the world, got a little bit of additional guidance for this trip. Now I'm looking forward to executing it.
How was his spirits?
His spirits were great. He was in a great mood. He was as direct and candid with me as he always is, and it was a great conversation. I'm now looking forward to getting here, and I told him I'd give him a holler as soon as I was on my way back.
Is there any concern, Mr. Secretary, about an adversary taking advantage of this moment with the president in the hospital?
It's the team that's ready. The message I've gotten from around the world, I've talked to, goodness, more than a half a dozen world leaders over the last few days, was all to tell the president, first lady, to get well and get healthy. We know there's rogue actors. We know there's malign actors around the world. The United States is fully prepared. Both the State Department and our diplomats. I was with General Milley this afternoon. Everyone's ready.
I love that message from the Secretary of State and from the National Security Advisor and from the president's trip in the limo, which was intended for as much for people abroad and malign actors. There were people who did not understand that. But it is pretty obvious to anyone who's ever worked in the White House in the national security apparatus why he did that. Apparently, kiddie journalists do not understand that. Rick Grinnell, the former director of national intelligence, acting director of national intelligence, and former ambassador to Germany, went on Fox with Maria Bartiromo yesterday and had something to say that I just want to make sure you hear, just in case you didn't watch. Although Maria Bartiromo is pretty well watched now on Sunday mornings. Here is Rick Grinnell, cut number 24.
Yeah, first of all, let me start, Maria, by really thanking you. You've been on this story. This is something that the American people need to know the truth on. Transparency is not political. And anyone who's trying to pretend that bringing the facts out and bringing the documents out is somehow nefarious or political is just dead wrong. We have had a scandal developing, and the scandal has developed largely because politicians have allowed individuals to hide information to create a false narrative on one side. What Devin was saying, I think, is very real. What we heard from James Comey this week was really shocking, because James Comey is blaming lower-level, mid-level career intelligence officials for this whole debacle. He's pleading that he didn't know anything about it, and they did it. And so this is the first moment where he's throwing the intelligence community officials, career officials, under the bus.
I think Rick Grinnell was amazing on Fox yesterday. I want to play one more cut of his interview with Maria Bartiromo. I just played you Mike Pompeo, who is widely believed to going to run for president in 2024, along with the vice president, along with Senator Scott, Senator Rubio, Governor DeSantis. You name it. People are running for – I saw that Robert O'Brien, the national security advisor, is running for president, which will surprise Robert O'Brien. But I see all these people. But Grinnell and Pompeo on a stage with, you know, a half dozen – Nikki Haley's going to run for president. Doug Ducey's going to run for – I mean, we're going to have more people running for president in 2024 than in 2016 when I moderated debates. I'm already thinking about how not to make a – debacle of any debate I get asked to moderate among Republican people. Cut number 25, Rick Grinnell.
Oh, I think it's not possible at all. He was a leader who knew every detail, took copious notes, and he's now just pretending that he didn't know. But the most important part is he's blaming mid-level career officials. Let me be clear to intelligence officials, career individuals that I've worked with who are incredible people who have been shocked at what has happened, that leadership has hid those voices that were early on saying this is Russian propaganda, we shouldn't go with it. But the leadership, James Comey and others in the leadership, decided to hide those warnings from career officials, and now he's blaming career officials. Let me just say, these career intelligence officials who largely live in the D.C. area are represented mostly by Senator Warner, who sits on the Intelligence Committee, who is a leader on the Intelligence Committee. And Senator Warner has been completely silent on protecting those individuals who did the right thing early on by creating warnings saying this is Russian propaganda. Senator Warner is protecting James Comey. If you live in Virginia, this is an outrage that you are not being represented by a senator who has your interests. Because when I saw James Comey throw the intelligence community officials under the bus, that's outrageous, should not be allowed to happen.
Go Bravo, Ambassador Grinnell. Sean in Columbus, Ohio, 89.9. Go Browns. Hey, Sean, who did the best job?
Well, I watched Fox, CBS, NBC, and I liked how completely unbiased Chuck Todd was. I mean, you know, he didn't question whether people can believe anything that comes out of the White House. The thing I like, he doesn't present his negative opinion, you know, like as fact, as a premise, and then subtly build on it as if it's fact, with his bias as a premise.
So you like the way Chuck did it? Sean? Sean, are you there? Yeah. So you liked the way Chuck handled it?
Oh, sure.
Thank you much. All right. I couldn't quite figure out what the take was, but that was a positive for Chuck Todd and NBC coverage. People want to hear the Steve Cortez, Chris Wallace exchange yesterday. So I'm going to play it for you. Where is it, gentlemen? It's cut number
there like you were, and they were distanced.
Why did they break
the rules? Those chairs were not close together. Look, those chairs were not close together. And again, we also believe that people
can make reasonable individual choices. It doesn't matter, Steve. The rules from the Cleveland Clinic, they were close together, Steve. And the rules from the Cleveland Clinic were everybody wears a mask. Why didn't they?
Chris, the way you're starting to harangue me now actually reminds me of what you did to the president during that debate on Tuesday night when he had to debate not just Joe Biden, but you as well. You were not a neutral moderator then. I don't mind tough questions. I welcome reasonably tough questions, but what I don't think is okay is for you to become the effective opposition to the president. Okay? And everyone there was tested in the crowd. They were distanced from each other.
That was a knockout blow by Steve Cordes. Someone's got to make, if you know what this music is, that's The Courier from Last of Mohicans. That's when the Long Carbine, and my moniker on the West Coast is the Long Carbine of Reason in the West. That's when the Long Carbine on the parapet of the fort has people handing him rifles. And as various Frenchmen and Indians attack The Courier, he takes them out one by one. Well, I would like to see somebody make the video. Maybe Generalissimo can do this. Generalissimo, listen to me. See if you can follow what I'm saying here. You know the scene I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if we had Donald Trump as the courier, right? And have him running with all the different people trying to kill him, being different members of the media and Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, how do you think that would go? A little Trump head on the courier. He's running, and the various people are coming out trying to get him. All right. The president of the United States, I'm in a good mood because the Browns won. More importantly, the president of the United States is fine. He's tweeting up a storm. He just tweeted this. Go ahead. Virginia voters, the president says, your governor wants to obliterate your Second Amendment. I have stopped him. I'm the only thing between you and your Second Amendment. Working hard in Virginia. It's in play. Better vote for your favorite president or wave goodbye to low taxes and gun rights. Then 3 minutes ago, stock market highs, vote. Then 1 minute ago, strongest ever military, vote. Brad in North Carolina, who did the best job over the weekend covering the president's illness?
The American people. You gotta look at who Donald Trump is going out to see. He's not calling Fox News. He's not calling CNN. He's not going to see anybody else, but he is taking the beast out to see the American people. He knows that's where the justice is. The social media shares the information faster than the fake news can misconstrue it.
Thank you, Brad. Tim in California. Tim, who did the best job this weekend?
Salem Radio and Tim Callum carrying for U.S. President, U.S. Senate.
All right,
and
thank you, Tim. Thank you. He somehow slips through, you guys. He snuck in. You liked him because he said Salem Radio, and then he snuck in to I got a ring around me that is not exactly Secret Service level protection when it comes to callers. Ben and Harley, they're hanging their heads down. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Let me go back and play for you Jason Miller on Meet the Press yesterday, cut number 3.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on. Spoke with the president yesterday afternoon, and he's in very good spirits. Both Bill Stepien, the campaign manager, and I spent about a half hour on the phone with the president and going through all the updates on what's going on with the campaign. And really, the president said a couple of things. Number one, that he's going to defeat this virus, that as a nation, we're going to defeat this virus, and our campaign is going to defeat this virus. And once he gets out of the hospital, he's ready to get back to the campaign trail. He sounded pretty energetic.
Very energetic. Let's go to Joe Biden, who did a virtual town hall, not sounding so energetic. Cut number 5.
Now, because of the ATU working with the House, you were able to work hard to see the $25 billion in aid was included in the so-called CARES Act, those first pieces of relief legislation. But I know it's not enough. Tens of thousands of transit workers have already been laid off. Tens of thousands. And I said for months, the Republican Senate needs to step up and pass another economic relief package right away. So painful cuts don't make this crisis worse. You may remember, John, when we went through this with the great, with the single most significant recession in American history, short of a depression, when Barack and I came into office and we were inherited the Bush recession, I was asked to manage the Recovery Act, which was $80 billion. $800 billion.
Yeah, $800 billion.
And the first thing I was able to do is get over $140 billion to the states and localities so they didn't have to lay off transit workers, they didn't have to lay off school teachers, didn't have to lay off firefighters, didn't have to lay off police officers. Because all the cities and counties have to work on...
You see, I'm not playing that because he stumbled. That's interesting. Big mistake, 80 and 800 billion. He does that a lot, actually. But because it's a town hall, in quotes, to the amalgamated transportation unions. So he's doing special interest softball questions. Come out and talk to the press, Mr. Vice President. Joni Ernst took apart her in Iowa. I'm playing this because I reach northern Iowa. I don't have any markets in Des Moines, but I got northern Iowa covered. She just took Teresa Greenfield apart, cut number four.
So here is Miss Greenfield, who has been sued many times for shoddy workmanship, use of inferior materials in her businesses. She's been sued for breach of contract. She is a handpicked candidate from Nancy Pelosi 2 years ago when she couldn't make it on the ballot because of felony election fraud. She's someone who filed for bankruptcy, sticking it to Iowa businesses to the tune of $29 million.
Senator Joni Ernst, you are so dishonest.
You can go onto the internet. You can see all of the documents. The documents are there, folks. Why on earth would we take someone that has this record of dishonesty and failed business leadership to the United States Senate?
Ooh, ouch, left a mark. In fact, Tom Tillis and Joni Ernst both had good weekends. Tom Tillis didn't have to do anything. Cal Cunningham imploded. That's over. I don't think anyone can vote for Cal Cunningham. I'd be surprised. Maybe some people already voted for him, but you can't vote for him now. And so we'll be right back. America, hour two of today's Hugh Hewitt Show ahead. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.